1 Kings chapter number 10, and then I also want you to turn, hold your place there, and turn to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read in 1 Kings first, and then we'll read in Matthew chapter number 12. 1 Kings chapter number 10, and then in the book of Matthew chapter number 12 tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 10 says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice.' And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And the king made the almond trees for the pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almond trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave of her royal, of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." Now, we see in this text here that this queen had heard of Solomon from her country, of his wealth and his wisdom and the things that he had going on, and she travels to hear of him. Now look with me over there in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Jesus speaking says, "The queen of the south," talking about the queen of Sheba, "shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." A greater than Solomon is here. Speaking of himself, amen. And we want to talk about that tonight. We want to look at Solomon and this visit from Queen Sheba, and we want to look at one greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we bow before you. God, in your presence, Lord, I pray you'd make our minds and our hearts aware of the reality of your presence here with us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost, Lord, could be here and have free reign in our services tonight. God, as we look at this passage of this queen who, Lord, made a great trip to sit at Solomon's feet. And God, truly, you're greater than Solomon. And God, I pray that we would seek you out. And Lord, we would respond in a way that she did. Lord, we love you tonight. And we praise you for what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first thing we see as we look at this passage is that this queen had heard of Solomon. She had heard, look in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, there are people out in Washington Parish and in our community and people that we know that need to hear of the fame and the prosperity of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the goodness and mercy and love and grace of God in our lives. You know what we should be telling people? And we ought to be smart about it. I do believe in being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We ought to be strategic in what we do. But we ought to be letting people know that Jesus Christ has changed our lives radically. That's what they want to know. They really don't care that we go to church. There's a lot of people who go to church that haven't been changed. There's a lot of people who go to church that are lukewarm or not really serving the Lord, not on fire for Him. That really isn't what's important. What they need to know is that Jesus Christ, we have met Him, He has saved us, and He has changed us forevermore. He has changed us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And people need to know that we've been changed. Now, they might know it from our past that we're different now, but they also can know it by just meeting us, by just being around us and say, man, these people walk with Jesus. I'm reminded of what it says in the New Testament about the apostles when it says, when they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And people need to perceive that we've been with Him. I mean, hey, they need to know that we walk with Him and we talk with Him and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What many people are missing in our community is a relationship with Jesus. It's not about vain works. It's not about dead religion. It is about a walking with Christ. And that's what they're missing. And what they need to see out of us is that relationship. And she heard about it. She heard about it. And what people need to see out of me and you is they need their curiosity piqued. They need their curiosity raised up to be able to say, what is different about them than me? What is different about their walk with God than my walk with God? What happened to them that must not have happened to me? Or maybe what am I missing? Can I tell you this? We got to be taught how to walk with God. Amen. I mean, you can get saved, and just because you got saved doesn't mean we know how to walk with Him. We got to be taught. And there's some people, I think, been saved and hadn't been led in a way to be able to walk with God and experience Him in a real way. And I want their curiosity. The Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, and you know what they said? You know what she said? I don't really believe it's true. She said, I got to go and see it for myself. All this I heard about Solomon. By the way, Solomon is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I wish I could go back for a moment and just kind of see what it was like under Solomon's kingdom. I mean, how great would it be to see the temple of God that he built? How great would it be able to see some of the things that was going on in that day? And I mean, he was doing things that had never been done. He was doing things that people had never seen. His wisdom exceeded that of all men before him and since. He was the first person who we could truly say was ahead of their time. He was that guy. And so she said, I need to go see. And here's what people need to be doing with us. They need to be coming and seeing if it's true. Coming and seeing if it's true. You know, I don't think God minds people that come and question God if they're seeking truth. I think if they come and they say, I want to know the truth, I don't think He minds people like that. See, this woman come and wanted to prove Him out. It's okay to want to see God do something. It's okay to want to make sure that what you're being told and believing in is true. And she came and proved Him with hard questions. Can I tell you today, if we were afraid of hard questions, then I would be a little leery of us. Amen? I mean, if we were afraid of people asking us questions that we know are holes in our belief system and we know doesn't hold water, well, then why would we want to be a part of it? If I had to sweep some things under the rug to say, don't ask about these things because that will expose us, that'd be a bad deal. And so she's coming to expose him with some hard questions. But you know what the Scripture tells us? The Scripture says this. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you really believe that? That you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I believe that so much that I believe all we need to do is get people the truth, and the truth will set them free. And man, I believe that if they'll begin to seek it, if they'll begin to seek it with a true heart and say, God, I want to know you, I believe the truth will set them free. See, the problem is there's a lot of people don't want to know the truth. Amen. They don't want to know the truth. You know, there are some parents out there whose kids are up to no good. Guess what them parents are? They don't want to know the truth. Yeah. I mean, you can tell them, hey, I seen them. We caught them red-handed. They'll say, oh, no, it didn't happen. I don't want to hear that. That's a lie. You know, there are some people in some false religions that don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. They'll close their ears. They'll say, oh, no, it can't be. If it's that way, then grandma was wrong. If it's that way, then mama and daddy was wrong. You know, Brother Steve was telling us about going up there on the mission work in Kentucky, and the guy who was there was a minister who got saved. He was a Mennonite. Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't know what a Mennonite is, it's like a branch of being Amish. And they're just like every other works-based deal. Yes. You know, I'm going to be good, and, you know, we don't have electricity, so we'll go to heaven or something, you know, and we'd do good things. But this guy got saved out of it. Said he continued to read the Bible, kept reading about it, being about grace. He said it can't be about works and grace. But this guy's daddy was the bishop of the Mennonite group. And so he was telling Brother Steve it was hard to take that step because of his upbringing. Man, can you imagine disappointing your daddy, saying, your daddy's the bishop of the Mennonite group, and you say, hey, I'm leaving. Yeah. But the problem is a lot of people just don't want to know the truth. Yeah. But truth will set you free. And here this woman does. She comes and proves him with hard questions. She comes with a great train of things here. It says that, in verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. You know what she did? You know why she brought all that? She came with what she had, you know. She came to say, hey, I'm worthy to be in your presence. We're equal. And you know what? You know how some people come to God? They come with as if it's with a resume. Well, I've done this and I've done that, and we just talked about our parents. You know, maybe Grandpa was a preacher, and it amazes me some of the people that talk to me and some of the things they put on their resume, if you will, their spiritual resume. They'll say, "Well, I was baptized in the creek when I was 7." That don't mean anything. I just got news for you. You can dress nice and come to church and do everything right and still be filthy on the inside. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what happened when she came to Solomon with all she had, and she sat at his feet and listened to everything he had to say. There was something happened to her. Yeah. You know what she realized when she sat at she come with all of her stuff. I mean, she tried to make a big show of it. She come and said, I'm going to prove this guy with some hard questions. I hear he's smart. We're going to find out. You know what happened when she sat at Solomon's feet? She found out she wasn't in Solomon's league. She found out that, hey, it's more than I was even told. This guy is smarter than I thought he was. This guy is wealthier and wiser and more prosperous and more dignified than I ever could have imagined. And she started to feel small. She thought, you know what's good? You know what we need to do? We need to feel small before God. Now, if you come to Him with everything you got and you're feeling big, that ain't a good place to be with God. We need to come before Him and we need to feel real small. You know what? A while ago, I walked outside. Laura and the kids had gone. I walked outside and had my sunglasses on, you know, and I kind of looked up. It was kind of overcast somewhat. And I see the sun and I saw them pine trees and I looked at the sun. And I just thought for a minute how small I was, where I was standing, and how what I was, you know, I'm standing on the earth, and I'm a speck. I thought about God, and it is just good to feel small sometimes. You know, it makes everything else kind of feel small. It kind of makes problems feel small. It kind of makes things you worry about feel small when you realize, hey, I am just a small deal. And you think about that sun out there, how big it is. You go outside and you can feel the heat from it. It'll burn you. Amen. You imagine that? It'll burn you. And God made that and suspended it on nothing. And man, you need to feel small when you come before God. We all got a problem with sometimes getting too big for our britches, as they say. And the Queen of Sheba was too big for hers. Well, here's what she saw in him. She saw his love. Solomon could have told her, you can take all your camels and your spices and turn right back around. Because you don't impress me. You don't intrigue me. You don't interest me. I'm the wisest man in the world. I'm the most prosperous, richest man in the world. And you can hit the road. But you know what Solomon did? He entertained her. When she got before him, she realized, like, I shouldn't be here. She realized that, man, I'm not on the same level. But she saw his kindness and his love, that he would entertain her. Can you imagine that me and you, by faith, come before the throne of God and he entertains us? Do you know that God's Son gave his life for you on the cross? We sang that song a while ago, Oh, What a Savior. His side was riven. His hands were scarred. And he did that for you and I. And man, when we get before God, we need to feel small and we also need to feel the love of God. God tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. I like that song we sing, Just As I Am. And he says, you bid me come. You bid me come. You say, come to me. Man, what an amazing thing. The love of God. She saw the love of Solomon. We see the love of God. Number two, she saw his truth and wisdom. She thought she had hard questions, but she found out they wasn't that hard. You know, she thought that she was going to be able to stump him, but she found out that there was no way. And she saw his truth and wisdom. You know what I found, and as I said earlier, the truth will set you free. But what I found is as we look into the Scriptures, we'll find that his word is true. It is true. If he said it, he would do it. If he promised it, we can have it. And look, just put him to the test, amen? Just put him to the test. Get in the Word of God and apply the promises of God to your life and say, God, you said I could have these things and I want them. And you go about doing them and see what God does. She saw it in Solomon's life. We see it in Christ. You know, number three, she saw the house he built. I'm telling you, this temple of God he built was magnificent. And man, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with God's house being great. And she looked at it. Well, you know what we look at today? We look at the Church of the Living God. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, halfway around the world. He died. Hey, he was homeless when he died. All of his followers forsook him when he died. He was beaten and crucified on a cross. And guess what? There's a church over here halfway around the world. And you know what the church looks like globally today? It's pretty big. It's pretty big. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is probably the biggest property owner in the world. Probably, think about it. Think about all the acreage we own. The church, I'm talking about the global church. Amen. All the buildings we own. All the things that Jesus owns. He's built a pretty big deal. I mean, every state in America, every country in the world, there's somebody crying out to Jesus Christ. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. It's impressive today that here at Oak Grove Baptist Church. A church in the middle of nowhere is helping build churches in Belarus and India and Zambia and Mexico and South Africa and all around the world. It's pretty impressive. It's impressive what God has done. And she saw that. We see that today. Number four, she saw the provision Solomon provided. She saw his servants, how happy they were. People need to see that with us. Amen. You know, if we claim to be the children of God and we're always miserable and we're always negative and we're always killjoys and we're always complaining. You know, if she went to Solomon's house and Solomon's cupbearer was throwing things around and he couldn't get them to listen and couldn't get them to do and they were saying, hey, take us out of here with you when you leave. She'd say, man, this isn't a deal. But guess what? They were all happy. They're all glad to be there. They all love Solomon. They were just glad to serve him, glad to serve the king of the nation of God, glad to serve the man of God, all these things. And she saw all that. Well, when people see us as believers, they'll see the same thing. They'll say, man, how are these people so happy? How do they endure affliction? How can they have bad things happen and still rejoice? How do they keep going? Well, Jesus changed us. Jesus changed us, and it made us happy. It said that she saw him ascend into the temple of God. You know what she saw in that regard? Solomon's power and presence. Have you ever been around somebody? I don't know. And it's an unexplainable thing. I can't explain it. But have you ever been around somebody who carries themselves in a way where you say, man, there's something different about this person? I mean, maybe they're confident, maybe they know that they have power, whatever it is. But when you're around them, you're just like, this guy is different. You know, I remember being around Jimmy Robertson one time, and most of you don't know him, but was a great preacher, a man of faith. Man, I tell you what, faith's a tough deal to trust God. I mean, when things don't even like they're going to be, but just to trust him. But anyway, he was one of those guys where if you're around him, you're just like, there's something different about this guy. And I remember somebody said that one time when he walked off. They said, man, there's something different about him. And somebody standing there said, well, it makes a difference when you got the power of God on you. And what people ought to feel with us and what people ought to see with Jesus is his power and his majesty and the things that he has, his glory. When she saw all this, look at verse 5 at the end. It says, there was no more spirit in her. There was no more. She came with a spirit of pride. She came with a spirit of arrogance. She came with a spirit of curiosity. She came with all that. Well, when she saw all that she was told, all that spirit left her. And she was kind of in a place where didn't know what to do. I mean, man, was just blown away. And when she saw all that, she says this. In verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. When people come to Christ, you know what they'll find? It was a true word they heard. And this is what else they'll find out. In verse 7, howbeit I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. That, by the way, that's another true thing. We can tell everybody in the world about it, but they're not going to believe it till they come and put it to the test. You can't get saved till you come and exercise faith. You can hear about it and think that maybe it was true, but you got to exercise. You got to put it to practice. And then she said this, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. By the way, if you come to Christ, can I tell you this? The half really hadn't been told. And you know what's good? Whatever you know today about God and whatever you've experienced, I got news for you. The half still ain't been told. And it still hadn't been experienced. I mean, what I've experienced of God is real and true, but I got news for you, even in my life, it's just a fraction. I mean, it's just a fraction. There have been people see far more than I've seen. They've seen God do greater things than I've seen him do. These people that have seen amazing things. I think about Peter and James and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. when there Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah there with him. I think about those folks walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. I think about all these things. I think about Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days. I mean, there's people who have seen it. Folks, the half hadn't been told. By the way, the half hadn't been told. We haven't even seen what the Bible says, that the eye has not seen, nor has it been conceived in the heart of man, the things that God has in store for those that loves him. I can't even imagine what heaven will be like. To be, now I know it says they streets of gold and gates of pearl, but I just can't imagine it. You know, I mean, what I imagine, I know is going to pale in comparison to the real thing. It's just like the Queen of Sheba. And by the way, over there in Matthew, when he's talking about that generation, and he's talking about this generation that we're out here today, and she said the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment against you. You know why he said that? He said, because she went to see about Solomon, and I'm way greater than he is. There's one greater than him. And these people won't go across the street to meet Jesus. And she came from a long way with everything she had. And they people won't come to the house of God, a church on every corner, telling people about Jesus. And they won't get up and go. And she's going to stand up in judgment one day at those people and say, hey, there was one greater and you weren't interested in him. But we ought to stand in awe and in amazement at Jesus Christ. And then she did four more things quickly. Four more things. Number one, she just became a believer in Solomon. Number one. And we in Christ. And let me tell you what, if you bring people to him, there ain't no way, if they seek him with a true heart, that they can't come away as a believer. There's just no way. They might doubt. They might not seek him with a real heart. They might not want to know. But if you come wanting to know, you will become a believer in Jesus. This lady left. And you know what? When she left, if anybody ever said anything about Solomon, you know what she'd say? Oh, yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah. They'd say, well, I heard about this. I don't believe it. She'd say, oh, yeah, it's true. I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen more than you can imagine. Whatever you've been told is better than you ever imagined. And she became a believer in Solomon. You know, we must act as if we're believers in Jesus. I know that we say that we are, but we need to be reinforcing that with people we know, to reinforce what God can do. You know, I want to get out of the habit of saying, well, all we can do is pray. I want to say, man, we get to pray. And we can pray and cry out to God. And we become a believer. And number two, look at verse 10, what she did. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the king of Solomon. She began to give to him. Now, she became a believer in this guy, and she began to give to him. And she gave to him in two ways. Number one, sacrificially. She gave more than she had to give, because she didn't have to give him anything, but she just gave it to him. And she also gave cheerfully. We ought not ever give to the Lord. We ought not ever give to the Lord begrudgingly. By the way, 100% of what you got is God's. He's just letting you manage it. He's letting you manage it. And we ought to give to him cheerfully and sacrificially. And you know what will happen to you if you give? And I'm talking about financially here tonight. I'm not talking about we'll give with our time and we'll give, I'll give you my thoughts. You know, that's how people want to get out of giving. You know what happened if you'll give to the Lord and you'll put him to the test? Let me tell you what he did. Look at what happened in verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. But you know what happened if you'll give to God? You know what he'll do? He'll give to you. He'll give to you. He'll bless you in ways you didn't think possible. He'll make that dollar go farther than you thought it could go. I can promise you. He'll bless you in ways. It is an amazing thing. You know, somebody asked me the other day a question. They said, Brother Derek, what do you do if you can't afford to tithe? And I told him, I said, well, I'll say two things about that. One is, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to. We'll talk about that one another day. But two is this, you know, if you will tithe, by the way, people can't say I can't afford to tithe and you got DirecTV still hooked up. All right. I can't afford to tithe, but we still, now we can't tithe, but we still go on vacation. That don't work. Now, you can do that, but you stand before God with that. That should be your business. But, you know, can we really afford to or not? But let me give you an example of my own life. God, you know, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving a free will offering above a tithe. And God, and I believe in you praying, and God lead you what to give. But I've been given to the Lord. And let me just give you an example of how these things work. Y'all remember I had got a staph infection on my arm a while back. Well, I went and they put me on IV antibiotics, okay? And I got insurance, but you know how that works. They don't pay for everything. I don't even know what I really got, but they don't pay for everything. And so I get a bill in the mail for that insurance, for that IV antibiotic, $383 for the IV antibiotics. And hey, it could have been a lot more without the insurance. But anyway, hey, $383. You know, now I got this unexpected deal. And I got a phone call. This is the same week now. This is the same week. I get the bill on Monday. Tuesday, I get a phone. Monday evening, I get a phone call. Brother Harold Gaddy called me. The guy preaching their revival couldn't come Tuesday. He asked me, could I fill in? I said, I'll fill in. I go there. They take up a love offering for me. It's $400. Now, you can say coincidence all you want to say. You know what I say? God met my need. I took the $400 from them. I go pay the bill. Boom. Now, God can do that for you. And I could give you many, many other examples. I could just continue on. But God will do those type of things. She gave to Solomon, and Solomon gave to her above what he had in his royal bounty. By the way, God gives to everybody. Amen. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's wicked people God gives to. I was out there today. That sunshine was feeling, it was hot on my face, but hey, it was there. Guess what? That's free. Yeah. This air I'm breathing is free. God gave it to me. God gives to everybody, but then he said he'd give above that and beyond that. And God will do that for you. If you'll just trust him in obedience. And then lastly, it says, so she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. You know what she did when she went back there? She told people about Solomon. They said, where you been? Oh, I've been over in Israel. I went to Jerusalem. What'd you see there? I seen Solomon. He's greater than you could ever imagine. And she began to tell him about it. Tell about the stories. Tell about what she heard. Tell about what she saw. You know what we need to do? We go out and tell other people about him. Tell them about Jesus, what he's done for us, what we've seen him do, what we've experienced, the stories we've heard, all these things. We need to go tell others about it. One greater than Solomon has come, and his name is Jesus Christ. He leaves me in awe. He overwhelms me. I can't imagine that he'd want to be associated with me. But he does, and he's changed my life. He is my purpose for living, is to promote him. And he ought to be all of our purpose for living, to promote him and to build his kingdom here on the earth. Boy, I love him, and I hope you do as well. Man, it's been good to be in God's house today. Good to be with you. Excited about what all God is doing.